Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Today is Friday, the 8th of November, which is the 10th of Cheshvan on the Hebrew calendar. Because today is Friday, we will be reading our regular double Shabbat episode. This week's parasha is called Lech Lecha, and today's aliyah is Genesis 15, verse 7 through 17, verse 6. Before we start reading, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples, through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to give you this land to inherit it. So he said, My Lord, Lord, how will I know that I will inherit it? Then he said to him, Bring me a three-year-old young cow, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young bird. So he brought all these to him and cut them in half, and put each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. Then birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, but Avram drove them away. When the sun was about to set and a deep sleep fell on Avram, behold, terror of great darkness was falling upon him. Then he said to Avram, Know for certain that your seed will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I am going to judge the nation that they will serve. Afterward, they will go out with many possessions. But you will come to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun set and it became dark, behold, there was a smoking oven and a fiery torch that passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord cut a covenant with Avram, saying, I give this land to your seed, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River. The Kenite, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now Sarai, Avram's wife, had not borne him children, but she had an Egyptian slave girl. Her name was Hagar. So Sarai told Avram, Look now, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go please to my slave girl. Perhaps I'll get a son by her. Avram listened to Sarai's voice. So Sarai, Avram's wife, took her slave girl Hagar, the Egyptian, after Avram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to Avram, her husband, to be his wife. Then he went to Hagar, and she became pregnant. When she saw that she was pregnant, in her eyes her mistress was belittled. So Sarai said to Avram, The wrong done to me is because of you. I myself placed my slave girl in your embrace. Now that she saw that she became pregnant, so in her eyes I am belittled. May the Lord judge between you and me. Avram said to Sarai, Look, your slave girl is in your hand. Do to her what is good in your eyes. So Sarai afflicted her, and she fled from her presence. Then the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, next to the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarai's slave girl, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said, Return to your mistress and humble yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will bountifully multiply your seed, and they will be too many to count. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, you are pregnant and about to bear a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And away from all his brothers will he dwell. So she called the Lord who was speaking to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, would I have gone here indeed looking for him who looks after me? That is why the well is named the well of the living one who sees me. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Then Hagar gave birth to a son for Avram, and Avram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Avram was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael for Avram. When Avram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Avram, and he said to him, I am El Shaddai. Continually walk before me, and you will be blameless. My heart's desire is to make my covenant between me and you, and then I will multiply you exceedingly much. Avram fell on his face, and God spoke with him, saying, for my part, because my covenant is with you, you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer will your name be Avram, but you will be Avraham, because I make you the father of a multitude of nations. Yes, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings will come forth from you. That was Genesis 15:7 through 17:6. Our next portion is from the prophets, and it is Joshua chapter 22. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not abandoned your kinsmen these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. So now the Lord your God has given rest to your kinsmen, as he said to them. So now turn and go to your tents, to the land that is your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the mitzvah and the Torah which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in all his ways, and to keep his mitzvot, cling to him and worship him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the one half tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given inheritance in Bashan, but to the other half Joshua gave territory among their kinsmen to the west of the Jordan. Moreover, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them, and spoke to them, saying, return to your tents with great wealth and with very much cattle, with silver, gold, bronze, iron, and with very many clothes. Share the spoil of your enemies with your brothers. So the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from Bnei Israel at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their inheritance that they had possessed, according to the mouth of the Lord by Moses' hand. Now when they came to the region near the Jordan in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, a large, conspicuous altar. Then Bnei Israel heard about it and said, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar opposite the land of Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, across from Bnei Israel. And when Bnei Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of Bnei Israel assembled at Shiloh to go up against them in war. So Bnei Israel sent word to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead. Pinchas, son of Eleazar the Kohen, and with him 10 chieftains, one chieftain from each ancestral house of each of the tribes of Israel. Every one of them was the head of his ancestral house among the thousands of Israel. So they came to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, in the land of Gilead, and spoke with them, saying, thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this treachery that you have committed today against the God of Israel, by turning away from following the Lord, building yourselves an altar, rebelling this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day? although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you would turn away this day from following the Lord. Now you rebel against the Lord today. Tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands. Acquire holdings among us, but do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar for yourselves, other than the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, son of Zerah, act unfaithfully concerning the things under the ban, and so wrath fell on the entire community of Israel? Nor did that man perish alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered, and spoke to the heads of the thousands of Israel. God of gods is the Lord. God of gods is the Lord. He knows, and may Israel itself know. If we acted in rebellion or in treachery against the Lord, don't spare us this day. If we have built an altar to turn away from following the Lord, or if it was to offer burnt offering or grain offering on it, or to offer sacrifices or of fellowship offerings on it, let the Lord himself require it. But we have done this rather out of anxious concern, for a reason, saying, in the future your children might say to our children, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us and you. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no share in the Lord. So your children may make our children stop fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let's now build an altar for ourselves, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, but as a witness between us and you and between our generations after us, so that we may do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our fellowship offerings. Then your children may not say to our children in times to come, you have no share in the Lord. Therefore we said, if they say such to us or to our future generations, then we will say, see the replica of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, but as a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away this day from following the Lord by building an altar for burnt offering, for grain offering, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord our God that stands before his tabernacle. So when Pinchas the Kohen and the leaders of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them well. So Pinchas, son of Eleazar the Kohen, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is in the midst of us, because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered Bnei Israel from the hand of the Lord. Then Pinchas, son of Eleazar the Kohen, and the leaders returned from the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, and from the land of Gilead, to the land of Canaan, to Bnei Israel, and brought back a report to them. The report pleased Bnei Israel, and Bnei Israel blessed God, and they did not speak of going up against them in war, to destroy the land in which the children of Reuben and the children of Gad were living. So the children of Reuben and the children of Gad named the altar, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. That was Joshua chapter 22. Our next portion is Psalm 22. For the music director, on the Doe of the Dawn, a Psalm of David. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Distant from my salvation are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cried out by day, but you did not answer, by night, but there was no rest for me. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Am I a worm and not a man? Am I a scorn of men, despised by people? All who see me mock me. They curl their lips, shaking their heads. Rely on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb, made me secure at my mother's breasts. From the womb I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. There is no one to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircled me. They open wide their mouths against me, like a tearing, roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax, melting within my innards. My strength is dried up like a clay pot. My tongue clings to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare. They gape at me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only one from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen, rescue me. I will declare your name to my brothers. I will praise you amid the congregation. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All Jacob's descendants, glorify him. Revere him, all you seed of Israel, for he has not despised nor disdained the suffering of the lowly one. Nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. From you is my praise in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows before those who fear him. Let the poor eat and be satisfied. Let them who seek after him praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before you. For the kingdom belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. Everyone who goes down to the dust will kneel before him, even the one who could not keep his own soul alive. His posterity will serve him, telling the next generation about my Lord. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, because he has done it. That was Psalm 22. Which brings us to our next and last portion for Friday, which is Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 58. He presented to them another parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it's full grown, it's greater than the other herbs. It becomes like a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like chametz, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." All these things Yeshua spoke to the crowds in parables, and apart from a parable, he wasn't speaking to them, in order to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." Then he sent the crowds away and went into the house. His disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And because of his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea, gathering things of every kind. When it was filled, they pulled it ashore, and they sat down and gathered up the good into containers, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. Then he said to them, therefore, every Torah scholar discipled for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure both new things and old. Now, when Yeshua had finished these parables, he left that place. Coming into his hometown, he began to teach them in their synagogue so that they were amazed. Where did this fellow get this wisdom and these mighty works? They said. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Miriam, and his brother Jacob and Joseph and Simon and Judah? And his sisters, aren't they all with us? So where does he get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Yeshua said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That was Matthew 13, verse 31 through 58, which concludes the reading of Daily Bread for Friday. If you are following along our double track of the apostles, you would be reading 1 John chapter 3. We will move on and do the readings for Shabbat, the 9th of November, which is the 11th of Cheshvan. Today in history, we can read in the Daily Bread Journal that it is the day that Methuselah dies, tradition from Genesis 5:27. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. It's also the day that Rachel dies, according to tradition. Quote, it came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrat, that is, Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar over her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. That was Genesis 35, verse 18 through 20. The last aliyah of this parasha, which is called Lech Lecha, is Genesis 17, verse 7 through 27. Yes, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, in order to be your God and your seed's God after you. I will give to you and to your seed after you the land where you are an outsider, the whole land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God also said to Abraham, as for you, my covenant you must keep, you and your seed after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant that you must keep between me and you and your seed after you. All your males must be circumcised. You must be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and this will become a sign of the covenant between me and you. Also, your 8-day-olds must be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, including a houseborn slave or a slave bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your seed. Your houseborn slave and your purchased slave must surely be circumcised. So my covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her by the name Sarai. Rather, Sarah is her name. And I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son from her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of the peoples will come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to his heart, "Will a son be born to a 100-year-old man? Or will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth?" So Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live before you." But God said, "On the contrary, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you must name him Isaac. So I will confirm my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. See, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him very, very much. He will father 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this set time next year." When he finished speaking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all of his houseborn slaves, and all his purchased slaves, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on this very same day, just as God had spoken with him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. On this very same day, Abraham and Ishmael his son were circumcised. Also all the men of his house, houseborn slaves, and slaves purchased from a foreigner were circumcised with him. That was Genesis 17:7-27. Our Haftarah portion for this Shabbat is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 41 and 16. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, and to one without vigor he adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Be silent before me, O islands. Let peoples renew their strength. Let them draw near. Let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east? He calls justice to his feet. He gives nations over to him and subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword, as driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them, passing on safely, by a path his feet had not traveled. Who has performed and done it? Calling forth the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, am the first and the last. I am he. The coastlands have seen and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They draw near and come. Each one helps his neighbor and says to his brother, 'Be strong.' The craftsman encourages the smith, who smooths with the hammer, who strikes with the anvil, saying of the soldering, 'It's good,' as he fastens it with nails so that it will not totter. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I took hold of you from the ends of the earth and called from its uttermost parts and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you, not rejected you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who were angry at you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who quarrel with you will be as nothing and perish. Though you will look for those who contended with you, you will not find them. Those who warred against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you. It is a declaration of the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look, I will make you a threshing sledge, new with sharp double-edged spikes. You will thresh the mountains and grind them up, and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them, and a wind will carry them away. A storm wind will scatter them. But you will rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. That was Isaiah 40:27 through 41:16. Our next and very last portion for this week is Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was set right by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, the pay is not credited as a gift, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his trust is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessing then only on the circumcised, or also on the uncircumcised? For we say, trust was credited to Abraham as righteousness. In what state then was it credited, while circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the trust he had while he was uncircumcised, so he might be the father of all who are trusting while uncircumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them as well. Also he is the father of the circumcised, to those not only circumcised, but also walking in the footsteps of the trust of our father Abraham before his circumcision. That was Romans 4:1-12, which concludes the reading of Daily Bread for Busy Moms for this week. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a blessed and peaceful Shabbat. I'm Sophia with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom, until next time.